Now, from the heart of New Orleans, here's Garland.
And good morning. Welcome back to Garland Show. I'm Scoot, in for Garland. Garland is hosting a very important luncheon today for Jim Henderson from Channel 4 Eyewitness Sports for so many years. Jim's a great guy. I've known him over the years, and we've played tennis, and we've had a lot of fun. We've done a lot of fun things together over the years. And as you know, Jim has recently retired. He's being honored by the Boy Scouts, and this is a very, very big luncheon. Garland is part of that, so I'm in for Garland today. Here is today's WWL Parade Jaguar opinion poll. Word is that Bill Parcells is out as interim head coach for the Saints, and Sean Payton's replacement will come from within. Do you have confidence in that? Cast your vote at our website, WWL.com. We'll update you on that throughout the show, and that's something that we'll continue to talk about. We'll also be joined by NFL analyst Mike Dettillier. He'll join us after 12 o'clock today, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Saints. We're talking with Christian Garrett last hour about that. WWL wants to send you and a friend to Jazz Fest 2012, the Eagles, Bonnie Raitt, Levon Helm, the reunion of the Beach Boys, CeeLo Green. I mean, the list goes on. Irma Thomas, Alan Toussaint, the Neville Brothers, Trombone Shorty. Listen for Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run. When you hear that, I'm going to give out the number. And if you're caller number 8, you win a pair of tickets to Jazz Fest 2012. Good luck and happy festing from all of us at WWLAMFMand.com. Bill Cosby has now given us his opinion, and I know we were all waiting for his opinion on the Trayvon Martin case in Florida. As you know, it's been reported that the special prosecutor is not going to turn this over to a grand jury. Trayvon Martin's own mother has said that she has confidence that this special prosecutor has enough information to move forward with this case, leading her to believe that there will be an arrest of George Zimmerman at some point. But what Bill Cosby had to say was that Neighborhood Watch volunteers, like George Zimmerman, who shot and killed Trayvon Martin, should not be allowed to carry guns. Now, we all should respect the Second Amendment. But maybe a lot of people who take advantage of their right to carry a gun aren't responsible with their guns. Dave Newman joins us live in our studio. He's lead instructor for Conceal Carry NOLA, and also an NRA certified and registered with the Louisiana Police Handgun Permit Unit. Dave, welcome to our show today.
How you doing today, Scoot?
Good. One of the first questions that I had about George Zimmerman is, okay, here we've got a guy, and I think this really just brings up the conversation again about everybody has a right to carry a gun, but with that right, there is equal responsibility to use a gun in the right way. While I don't necessarily agree with Bill Cosby, I do have to say that my first impression was you've got a Neighborhood Watch volunteer with a gun, and he's pursuing somebody. Based on what we've heard from this case, are there some people like this who shouldn't have a gun?
Well, I don't think everybody should have a gun. I mean, some people don't have the right attitude. I mean, in my classes, we stress teaching people the knowledge, skills, and attitude, with the stress on the attitude, appropriate to carry a gun as a law-abiding citizen, and the responsibility that goes along with it. So some people assume that because they get a permit that they're almost deputized, and that's another thing I stress in my classes, that I try to make it clear to them that they're not law enforcement officers, and that if they even think they're under a threat, the first thing they need to think about is, can they get away and dial 911 and let somebody who is a law enforcement officer deal with the situation.
One of the things that bothered me about the George Zimmerman case, from what we know, is that he was told by the 911 dispatcher, don't follow this guy, but he continued to follow him. We don't know what happened. Did he feel threatened? Well, that's what he told police, that he felt like he was defending himself. But I somehow get the feeling that maybe there are people who want to be law enforcement, and they're not, and this guy's a Neighborhood Watch volunteer, but he's got a gun, and he used it, and he killed somebody.
Right.
Does carrying a gun sometimes change somebody's attitude?
Yeah, it does. It can change your attitude for the good, though, as well. It could make, if you understand the responsibility that goes along with it, It can make you feel safer. It just does. It doesn't necessarily have to make you feel that you can be more aggressive toward other people, or that you can go in areas where you normally wouldn't go, or in situations where you normally wouldn't allow yourself to be in those situations.
Do you see people, Dave, have you seen attitudes change when somebody goes through the process and carries a gun?
Yeah, I have. I have. I mean, I've had women in my class that were literally afraid of guns, and then by the time they were finished the class, they were more confident with their ability to use it as a self-defense method, and they felt safer about the moments in their life where they felt unsafe before. But that was a positive. And then I've occasionally had people in my class that I had to wonder about them, because they seemed to, no matter what I would tell them, I would cover the laws that are involved about the aggressor cannot claim self-defense law and the reasonable man doctrine and all of those things. But they would let that kind of just glaze right over them, catch enough of it just to pass my class. And, you know, it made me kind of wonder about them later on.
Well, the right to carry a gun is certainly prominent in our society. It's the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and I totally respect that. But I think a lot of people don't realize that with a right comes great responsibility. No matter what the right is, whatever right you have responsibility that is equal to that right. And some people obviously are not responsible gun owners. When I hear, we've talked about this on shows that I've done here recently, when I hear about a three-year-old kid shooting himself in the head with a gun that was under the seat in the car while the dad's out pumping gas, how does that happen? I mean, that is not a responsible gun owner.
Right. They obviously weren't trained right. We talk about access prevention, you know, duplicate, you know, methods of controlling the access to unauthorized personnel. I mean, just because you have a gun in a lockbox doesn't necessarily mean that it's safe. Somebody can get into that. You might forget to lock it, so you need to put an actual gun lock on the gun and then put it in the safe. I mean, if you have children around, you definitely have to have a redundant system of access prevention.
But here's what I'm thinking. This was a case recently where a family was on the road, and they stopped for gas. The father was pumping gas. The mother had gone in the convenience store to use the restroom. Their two-year-old daughter or one-year-old daughter was in the seat. The boy was in the back seat, 3 years old. While the dad was pumping gas, the kid jumps in the front seat, goes under the seat to get the gun, and ends up killing himself. Now, you can only imagine how parents would feel being in that situation. But I couldn't help but think that this man had done something with this gun, playing with it or doing something that made this three-year-old so curious that maybe he wanted to imitate his dad. And that's what led him in that brief moment to go get the gun from underneath the seat of the car.
Yeah. I mean, you should instruct your children on the fact that they are a lethal force weapon, and that you should take great care with them and make them understand. It's just like you teach a child not to touch the fire on a stove, that it's hot, and not to touch that. The same thing applies to a firearm. You should definitely teach them those things. You don't make them think it's a toy, for sure.
All right, Bill Cosby has said, when you carry a gun, you mean to harm somebody, kill somebody. He's talking about the Neighborhood Watch volunteer, George Zimmerman, who shot and killed a teenager, well, 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. We've been talking about this. This happened February 26th, and it's still being investigated right now. Bill Cosby saying that a Neighborhood Watch volunteer should not be carrying a gun. I'm Scoot in for Garland today. The Neighborhood Watch volunteer, George Zimmerman, continues to be in the news. Now Bill Cosby says that people like that should not be allowed to carry guns. I have a lot of questions about this Neighborhood Watch volunteer. It's one thing to watch. It's another thing to carry a gun and shoot somebody. And since George Zimmerman, as far as we know, did go out of his way to follow Trayvon Martin, then it would be hard to argue in some ways that he felt threatened. If I feel threatened by somebody, I'm going the other way. I'm not going to follow them. And when you follow somebody, the pattern of this guy's behavior, and again, I don't know because I'm not a lawyer and I was not there. But the question that I have about this is the pattern of behavior based on phone calls to 911 and the neighborhood watch, the self-appointed neighborhood watch volunteer status while carrying a gun. Certainly has a right to carry a gun, but you also have a responsibility to use it properly. I'll get to more of your text here in just a moment. Dave Newman is in our studio, lead instructor for concealed carry NOLA, and also NRA certified pistol instructor and registered with Louisiana State Police concealed handgun unit. If you have a gun, you have to be prepared to use it. I mean, if you're going to carry a gun, you need to be prepared to use it, not just pull it out to scare somebody.
That's true. You have to be properly trained to use it, and you should also be properly trained in the laws that pertain to carrying that firearm concealed.
When you have heard about this story, Dave, what has come to your mind about the events that we know? Again, we weren't there, but what impression do you get from this Neighborhood Watch volunteer, George Zimmerman, and his behavior?
Well, he obviously didn't take my class, because what I teach people is if you think someone's a threat, let alone a lethal threat, which to me, that's the thing in the media that bothers me the most. They keep talking about the stand your ground law, and that if you feel like you're under a threat, you can use lethal force. But to me, I would clarify that word threat, because someone can threaten you with gestures or words. That doesn't mean it's a lethal threat. But what I teach is that if you even remotely think you're under a threat, you should maximize your distance from danger. You should go away from the potential threat, and dial 911 and call the police and let them come and investigate this situation. If you think someone is in your neighborhood or in your home, or well, you're not in your home, that's a more extreme case, or someone is threatening you, let someone else who is trained in law enforcement and who has the right to take care of the situation and take control of the situation come out and handle it.
Well, it seems as if this guy wanted to be law enforcement, and a Neighborhood Watch volunteer ending up shooting an unarmed person. To me, this has nothing to do with race. This has just everything to do with how somebody decided to use a gun.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's go to the North Shore. Tom, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. I'm glad you have Dave on the show.
Thanks.
On the Bill Cosby, saying that if you carry a gun, you plan to shoot somebody, it's like saying if you have a fire extinguisher, you're planning to have a fire.
Right, exactly.
But really, I do have an issue with the way you set everything up here, Scoot, when you said that George Zimmerman was pursuing. We know that's not the case. He was doing what any good citizen would do. The police tell you, observe, if you see something suspicious, call us. He did that. He wasn't pursuing, he was keeping his distance. And as to what happened when the shooting took place, well, we don't know about that. But it is, I think it's a mischaracterization to say that he was pursuing. He was calling in and doing exactly, I mean, how many times have you heard the police say, if you see something that looks odd, call us? And that's what he did, and he was reporting it so that the police could come and take care of it.
He followed him. According to all the reports he followed him, and the police told him to stop doing that. Tom, the 911 dispatcher said don't follow him.
No, he did not. Have you listened to the tape?
Yes.
Here's exactly what the 911 dispatcher said. He says, we don't need you to do that. That's not the same thing as saying don't do that. That's a statement of fact. We don't need you to do that. Great. That's a statement of fact. Thank you very much. I'm going to continue to do this until the police show up or until you tell me to stop. But you haven't told me to stop yet.
Well, we're talking about semantics here, because they essentially said don't follow the guy.
No, they did not. They said,
we don't need you to do that. Well, that's, again, I'm not going to get involved in semantics, Tom. I appreciate you calling the show, but I mean, that's ignorant. Joe, welcome to WWL.
How you doing? Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Joe.
Let me tell you, first, let me preface by saying I was a former police officer. When I lived in Slidell, I became president of Homeowners Association, which we started the Neighborhood Watch. We had the sheriff's department, the police department come out, school all the people who were going to be involved in it. And the biggest thing was to observe and call, not to pull a gun, not to carry a gun. Observe and call in, okay? So being a former police officer, I was all for that. Then I got elected to the city council in Diamond Head, Mississippi, and I became head of the security as one of my committees. And the first thing I did, the committee, uh, the the security force that we had, we had 9,000 homes in Diamond Head at the time, were carrying guns. The first thing I did when I took over, I called and found out from the insurance company what's the difference between a security guard, not a policeman, carrying an armed gun or not being armed. And it was so astronomical because of liability insurance not to carry a gun that I chose file security not to carry a gun, just a can of mace and a club, okay? Mm-hmm. And the 5 years that I ran that committee, we never had one accident where anybody got hurt or injured on either party, either the security or the people. And the best part was everybody was secure. You know, the guy that was talking before, he wasn't there, and I wasn't there.
Right.
I would hope that anytime somebody carries a gun, being a former police officer, you're putting something in a non-trained person that gives them a sense of more security, and you give the guy who doesn't have the gun the power not to be, you know, injured, you know. But I think it's a bad situation. Everybody kind of prejudged this guy, but he's got himself to blame because he put himself in a situation being a neighborhood watch where he should have just observed and called in and let the police do their job.
Yeah, I totally...
Look, you have a great program. You really do.
Thanks, Joe. I totally agree with you. And, Dave, that seems to be something that a lot of people are missing. And I refuse to make race part of this case because I don't know George Zimmerman's heart. I don't know that this is about race at all. And sometimes I bring up what the race is only because that's what people are talking about.
Right.
But I don't think this is about race. I think this is about a guy who wanted to be law enforcement. And again, we're just talking about this. This is just speculation. But it seems like there was a guy that wanted to be in law enforcement. And so he's following a guy who he thinks is suspicious. Well, my first comment was, who is he to determine who's suspicious? And
right.
Then he's got a gun and he ends up killing somebody. And when you kill somebody, you have to be accountable for that.
That's right, and you got to live with it for the rest of your life. See, even if it's a justifiable shoot, I mean, you've got to live with the fact that you killed another human being the rest of your life. So you should avoid it at all possibilities is the way I see it, unless you really have no other choice. And by following someone, then you're not allowing that to happen. You're not allowing that other choice to take place. Now, like the gentleman that just was on the phone said, neighborhood watch, keyword is watch.
Exactly. It's not shoot to kill. And again, when I read the transcripts, the police, the 911 dispatcher wanted him to be at a certain place and wait for the police, but he continued to follow the guy. What part of that don't people understand? And welcome back to the Think Tank. I'm Scoot in for Garland. Garland is hosting a luncheon honoring Jim Henderson, the voice of the Saints, being honored by the Boy Scouts. And there's a big luncheon, and he's involved in that today. So I'm doing a show. WWL Radio is really proud to be one of the sponsors of the 29th annual French Quarter Fest presented by Capital One, the largest free music festival in the South. It's this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know, this started out as a one-time event after there was a lot of repairs on sidewalks and on streets in the French Quarter. The French Quarter Festival, 29 years ago, was designed to try to attract locals back to the French Quarter. The French Quarter's open. Things are back to normal. It has now grown into one of the biggest free festivals in the country. I know my friend, the friends at Top Cats are going to be there Sunday. In fact, we're going to do some shows from there. Spud's going to be there Friday from 1 to 4. And then Saturday, Tom Fitzmaurice will do the show. This is from Jackson Square, the world's largest jazz brunch. Tom Fitzmaurice will do a show there from noon to 3 on Saturday. And I'll be there from 10 to noon on Sunday. So it should be a lot of fun. It's 4 days of New Orleans-style fun. And you'll hear it on WWLAMFM.com. We're talking about Bill Cosby saying that Neighborhood Watch volunteers like George Zimmerman should not be allowed to carry guns. He also said something that I do disagree with. When you carry a gun, you mean to harm somebody or kill somebody. Now, we know that Bill Cosby lost a lost a son in a gun accident, in a shooting. So I understand his passion. But I don't think it's fair to say that everybody who carries a gun wants to harm somebody or kill somebody. Dave Newman is a lead instructor for Concealed Carry NOLA. He's in our studio with us live today. Also, he's a NRA certified pistol instructor and registered with the Louisiana State Police Concealed Handgun Unit. Let me get to a couple of texts here. Here's one that reads, Scoot, the gun made him drunk with power. We're talking about George Zimmerman, and we don't know everything. There's a special prosecutor looking into this. She has decided not to turn this over to a grand jury, which many believe means that she has enough evidence to prosecute him, that she may feel at this point she has enough evidence to at least arrest George Zimmerman. I have a lot of questions. I wasn't there. You weren't there. But it's my observation from the transcripts and the audio of some of the calls to 911 that in my mind I have pieced together a mental composite of this person. And it seems like this person wanted to pursue somebody. Said something about they always get away. There are just a lot of things about this that bother me. Now, again, I don't know whether he really did feel threatened because I wasn't there. So we'll have to wait and see what the prosecutor does, and all we can do is hope and pray that justice is served. In Baton Rouge, Ray, you're on WWL.
How you doing?
Good, Ray.
Look, I don't think, I think his life need to be, I don't think he need no gun, because if the police, the idea here on tape, they told him, do not follow the suspect. Now, when it go back up, I think when it come back up to that razor thing is, when the police try to cover that stuff up.
Well, we don't know. It seems like there was enough there for the police to arrest George Zimmerman. But again, I'm not a police officer. I wasn't in the police station in Sanford, Florida. He was taken in handcuffs, and then he was given an opportunity to give a statement, and he said that he was threatened, he was attacked, and apparently there was scratches or something physical on him to indicate that he was defending himself. But I'll tell you, when you defend yourself, even in a fight like that, you have to do more than just claim you were threatened. I think when it comes to owning a gun, you've got to, when it comes to using a gun in a situation like that, Dave, I would think that there's some responsibility on you to really demonstrate that you really felt threatened.
Yeah, it has to be according to the reasonable man doctrine. The person has to have the ability to inflict bodily harm or kill you. The opportunity has to be present, and you have to be in immediate jeopardy of that happening. So, I mean, we weren't there. We don't know how the fight started. To me, that's the more curious part, because the aggressor law says that whoever was the aggressor first cannot claim self-defense. And that's the part to me, that's the gray area. And that's the part I try to teach people to avoid, that gray area, because your freedom is on the line. If you get arrested, you could go to jail, or, you could get killed as well in this situation. So you should always try to avoid it.
If George Zimmerman was following him, and it's amazing to me how people pick sides when it comes to this, saying, well, the police didn't tell him not to follow him. The 911 dispatcher said, we don't need you to do that. I don't know what the difference is between we don't need you to do that and don't do that. It's the exact same thing to me. But yet there are people who are looking for the evidence that they feel like they need to defend George Zimmerman or to condemn him. But if he indeed was following him, then it might be hard to prove that he was not the aggressor.
That's right. It'd be hard for him to prove that he was not the initial aggressor. If he approached him, if he got out of his car and approached him, then, that's the way the law could see it. I mean, I'm not an attorney. I want to definitely make that clear. I'm not the judge, but we weren't there. So we don't know exactly how the fight initially started, and that's where the evidence has to come into play, and that will determine who was the aggressor originally.
All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We'll get back to more of your comments. Here's a text that reads, Scoot, first of all, they didn't tell Zimmerman not to follow him or order him not to follow him. They said, we don't need you to do that. I would check with an English teacher, and I would check on the grammar there, because I think it's basically the same thing. In for Garland, I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. I'm Scoot in for Garland today. We'll get to your text and more of your calls. Dave Newman is lead instructor with Concealed Carry NOLA, also registered with the Louisiana State Police Concealed Handgun Unit and NRA certified pistol instructor. And we're talking about the right and the responsibility to own a gun. With the right to own a gun comes equal responsibility. Getting some amazing text. Here's one that says, are you serious? Go look up the definition of stop and need. It's not the same. By the way, I'm not for the neighborhood watchman. Well, I don't understand why there's been such a controversy about what the 911 dispatcher said. The 911 dispatcher said when this guy George Zimmerman said that he was going to continue to follow Trayvon Martin, they said, we don't need you to do that. Essentially, that's their way of saying, don't do it, which is essentially their way of saying, stop. But he did it anyway.
I think they were being polite. That's why they chose those words.
Let's go to the West Bank. Bobby, you're on WWL.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Good.
Look, my opinion on this, you know, I have a 16-year-old daughter, and, you know, she likes to wear the little sweater jackets, and some of them have hoods on them. You know, so I'm looking at it from a parent's point of view. And, you know, yeah, this guy shouldn't have followed him. And that right there should make him the aggressor, and he should be charged, you know, because he killed somebody, whether it's manslaughter or whatever the law calls for. But my problem with this whole issue is the whole race thing. This should not even be about race. It ought to be about a 17-year-old kid that was killed, regardless of what color he is. And you have people, the term I like to use is race whores. You have Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and even Barack Obama that wants to make it about race. You know, what if it would have been a white kid that got killed? That life isn't worth the President of the United States speaking about. You know, and that's what my problem is. If it's going to get the media attention, it ought to get the media attention that it deserves for what happened, not because of race. You know, and all that does is that creates more racial tension in an environment that we don't need any of that anymore.
I totally agree with you, Bobby. Amen. I'm glad you called the show. Thanks for listening. And here's a text that reads, if Mr. Zimmerman was not armed, he would likely have obeyed the dispatcher's request not to follow. He certainly would not approach someone he deemed a threat. And that's something that that we've talked about, Dave. And I remember mentioning this on the air when this story first broke. It's like, wait a minute. This guy thinks this guy's suspicious and threatening. Why is he following him? I'm going the other way if I think somebody might be a threat to me.
Exactly.
He had to defend himself by killing this person. And I don't care what the skin color is at all. And I don't bring up race when it comes to this, except to respond to others who bring up race and who make this a racial issue. It's about every time somebody's killed, it's tragic.
Right.
But there are some stories that capture our attention in the media and capture the public's attention. The Good Samaritan who was shot and killed, that had nothing to do with race. He was shot and killed trying to help a woman who was being carjacked. In this case, you've got a 17-year-old who is walking in a neighborhood that he belongs in, who is deemed suspicious and ends up dead. So there are obvious questions that need to be asked.
Well, I agree. I mean, I had a conversation before coming on the air in the hallway here with Spud, and we were talking about it seemed to be more of a matter of lack of communication. If they would have just, instead of being on the phone, if Zimmerman would have just said, hey, what are you doing in my neighborhood? Do you live around here? Politely, not, you know, aggressive or anything. He could have said, I'm living with so-and-so in the next block. And maybe Zimmerman would have gave him a ride to the house. I mean, it could have been a totally different situation. Whereas, you know, he saw him as a suspicious person. He had all these preconceived notions about him. That turned the situation negative.
You know, and was it the hoodie? Was it his skin color?
Right.
I don't know.
We don't know what was in his mind.
We've talked a lot about hoodies, and hoodies have become part of of pop culture fashion with a young generation. I did the show the other night with a hoodie on and sunglasses, and I don't think it's fair to judge people because I don't think I look that threatening in a hoodie. But you can't judge people. When something becomes part of fashion, you can't judge people for wearing it. And I'm part of a generation that was judged by the way we wore our hair and the way we wore our clothes, the hip huggers, the bell bottoms, the micro mini skirts. I mean, my generation was very out there in terms of fashion that the establishment didn't agree with. So I find it very unfair to judge people based on fashion trends that we might not even like. I see a lot of models and I see a lot of celebrities in Hollywood are wearing hoodies now. We've been talking about the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case. It continues to attract a lot of attention and a lot of passion. And Dave Newman, lead instructor with Concealed Carry NOLA, is in our studio. Dave, when you send people through a class, do you ever touch on the reality that they might actually have to kill somebody?
Yeah, definitely. We even suggest that they might even talk to an attorney before actually starting to carry a concealed weapon, so that if something does happen, you know who you're going to call. We always try to tell people that you do have the right to remain silent. They're going to give you Miranda rights when the police do come. They're probably going to put the cuffs on you, bring you down to the station like they did with Zimmerman, take your gun away from you. And then if everything's clear and that it was a justifiable situation, then you might get your handgun back. Depends on which city you're in, what location you're in. Those things vary. We discuss all of that.
But you can't, some people I think might want to carry a gun, to scare somebody. I mean, if you pull out a gun, you have to be prepared to use it.
That's brandishing. You can't just pull out a gun to scare somebody. That's not legal.
But I would think that, I mean, I've heard people say, well, I just wish I had a gun to, you know, to threaten somebody, to let them know, not to threaten them, but to, if I feel threatened, to just pull out a gun. You got to be prepared to use it if you pull out a gun.
Yeah, you do have to be prepared to use it. I agree with that. But you can't just pull out a gun and wave it around and say, you better get out of here, I have a gun. No, that's not the way it works.
In Covington, Patrick, you're on WWL.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys?
Good.
Look, I'm an African-American attorney, and there's like 3 points I want to hit real quick. One, I don't think race had anything to do with Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. I think the race issue comes in with the investigation, as someone earlier said. And I think that that's something that people, if you be open-minded about, you could see how people in the African-American community could feel that the investigation is going in such a way that there may not be a value on Trayvon's life as if it was someone else. Now, that could be looked at different angles, but I can definitely see the race issue in that. And then second issue I wanted to point out is that let's imagine for a minute that the situation went exactly as it was, but Mr. Zimmerman did not have a gun. What would have happened was, even if either one was the aggressor, both would still be alive. Maybe one would be beat up, or maybe both would be beat up, but they'd both be still alive. So the carrying of the gun, I think, is very warranted to suggest that community-watch people should not carry a gun, because his actions were definitely, I think, encouraged by the fact that he was packing. And then thirdly, I just like the argument from a legal standpoint. At the very least, I think he's guilty of negligent homicide, because he cannot say that by him being an instigator, and then let's imagine that there was a fight where he did feel threatened and the gun went off, there's still the element of a negligent homicide, because at the very least, Zimmerman would have to admit that the killing of Trayvon was an accident. Now, if he was trying to get him off of him, then you would react to force with the same amount of force, not with a greater
That's
amount
right.
of force.
That's right, force with force, right.
And this doesn't even seem close to first-degree murder, but again...
No.
Something,
manslaughter.
Something happened, maybe manslaughter, I don't know. But again, we can only hope and pray that the special prosecutor in this case does her job to the point where justice is served, whatever that justice is. And we don't know. And as a community, we're going to have to sit back and accept the justice that comes down. We're going to have to accept the justice of the decision of the jury if it does go to a jury trial. And we have learned through Casey Anthony and O.J. Simpson and other cases that we can't always predict how juries are going to react. Patrick,
and Scoot, I just wanted to tell you, as a black man, it bothers me when race is brought up unnecessarily by those who would just agitate just to agitate it. It's not proper to say that Zimmerman picked on Trayvon because Trayvon was black. Zimmerman obviously picked on Trayvon because he was a foreigner to the neighborhood, in his opinion. And if he'd have been Italian, Jewish, or Hispanic, Zimmerman would have picked on him.
Well, we don't know, but that certainly could be the case. Patrick, I'm going to have to get to a news break here, but sure. I appreciate you calling. Thanks for listening. And Dave Newman, lead instructor for concealed carry, NOLA, registered with the Louisiana Police.